Lord, thank you for bringing us all here today. Thank you for keeping all of us safe as we came here in the snow. And Lord, I pray that you would just keep this community safe and that you would keep the individuals who may be out driving or walking around, Lord, that you would keep them safe. Lord, we want to pray for the new provost who is taking this interim position. It's a huge job description, God, and we just pray for guidance and for peace for him as he steps into that role, and that he would hear your voice and to follow you for what the university needs. And God, we pray just for a good semester and overall feeling of peace in this space. God, that we know that what you have for us is good, and help us to trust that tonight and as we go throughout our lives. We love you, and I pray that you would open our hearts to what you have to say to us tonight. In your name we pray, amen. So thanks for coming. If this is your first time or you have no idea who I am, my name's Sadie, and I run The Well. I'm also the assistant director here in Office of Christian Ministry. And tonight we're going to talk about one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. If you know me, there are two that stick out. This is one of them, and it's Jacob wrestling with God or the angel or the man. Different translations say different things. But this happens in Genesis 32. So Genesis, first book of the Bible, we jump in, and then there's just like tons of family drama. God creates the earth, says everything's good, Adam and Eve sin, and then it's like, boom. Brothers are killing each other, there's lots of drama, people want to kill each other, all that kind of stuff. So it was not hunky-dory for too long. So there's these guys named Jacob and Esau, and they're twins, and they have a super complicated relationship. I don't have siblings, so I don't know if sibling relationships are complicated. All of my friends say they are, so I'll just trust that. But a little bit of backstory on them is that the Lord told Rebekah, their mom, that she was going to get pregnant, she was barren, and she'd have two sons, but they wouldn't get along at all. God was right, because somewhere in their adult life, Jacob made Esau sell him his birthright, and then he stole the blessing from their dad, and all of these different things. So Jacob is this like super sneaky, like manipulative older brother, if any of you have one of those. And so Esau decided that he wanted to kill Jacob. So we find ourselves with Jacob being like run from his home, and he's out with the people he's living with in a completely new place. So we enter into Genesis chapter 32. And through a different string of events, they're really, really far from each other. So like any good younger brother, Jacob decides that he would like the favor of his older brother. He does not want to die. So he sends him a bunch of gifts and presents to help him like calm down. So Esau gets like a ton of different animals as gifts. And then he tells everybody to tell Esau that he's coming. So like he's priming them with goodness. So as he's trying to get this favor from his brother, he's reminded that God actually promised him a lot of things. So God promised him that he would have a good life, and he promised him that he would be in God's favor, and that he would have a large family. So he was blessed. His wife was barren. He had sons. But now Jacob is wondering, like, hey, like, you said that my life would be good, and currently my brother wants to kill me. That doesn't actually sound good. So, like, I want you to prove that those promises are true. So he's really confused, and he's wondering, like, how is God's goodness compatible with my own brother's wrath? Or how is God's promise compatible to my current life situation? He's not seeing anything good, and he's probably wondering where God is in all of this. So then comes my favorite part of this story. And there was one time that one of my friends told me that she thinks that I am like Jacob in this specific story, not the like manipulative conniving part. I don't do that. But Jacob stays up all night wrestling with a man until the sun comes up. So some say that this was God wrestling, or this was Jacob wrestling with God, or they say it was an angel, or they say it was a man. but we don't actually know that. So for right now, we're going to believe the words of Scripture that says it was a man that he was wrestling with. And so he stays up all night wrestling with this guy. And there's dialogue between the two of them. And the man notices that he's not going to be able to overcome Jacob, that he is like strong-willed. And the man says to Jacob, "Let me go," like the sun's about to come up. And Jacob says this line that I love and has like kind of haunted me for my life. Jacob says, "I will not let go until you bless me." So the reason my friend thought that I'm like Jacob is because I hang on and I say, "I'm not letting go until you bless me." And so Jacob names this place because he thinks that he's seen the face of God. And so to Jacob, that wrestling was his own wrestling with God. And I've experienced that a ton in my life. When I was in your seat, all throughout college, I thought that I had a very specific plan for my life. It was like a one-track plan. There was only one job that I could possibly have in the whole earth, and I was going to do it. And I was going to go to graduate school, and I was going to go to one of the best graduate schools for research for theology, and I was going to go straight through, get my PhD, and teach. And that was the only thing that I thought I wanted to do. And then one of my friends was praying for me, and he said, "Don't choose teaching." I wanted to teach theology. "Don't choose teaching over preaching just because it's easier for you." And that like threw me into a tailspin where I was like, okay, I kind of blew it off. And then a lot of different people were like, "Don't choose this just because you're so strong-willed that you don't want to choose anything else." And so I started to pray about it. And I sensed that God was telling me to not go to graduate school. My whole life had kind of fallen apart the year before that. And if you know me, or if you've heard me speak, you've probably heard me talk about that. But my mom died the year before, and I was just on this like track to ignore my whole life because I didn't want to deal with it. And so I wrestled with God through that. I was like, "Hey, you've given me this vision for my life. I think that it's a good vision. I want to teach people about you. What's the problem?" And there was a moment where it was like, "Sadie, you've been so obsessed with the promise that I gave you that you stopped actually worshiping me. You started worshiping the promise and not the promise maker." And I was like, "Oh, that's probably true." So I didn't even apply. I don't know if I would have gotten into Notre Dame or to Duke. And through all of that, I have a life that I love here with you. I stayed here after I graduated. That was the last thing on my list, which, by the way, I didn't even really want to come to this university. And then God told me to. And I was like, "Oh, 4 years later, you're still telling me not to do the thing I want to do." And I don't know if any of you resonate with that. I'm sure that actually some of you do. Because I don't think it's a mistake that Jacob was wrestling with this man at night. I think that that can signify we do some of the most intense wrestling in our lives with God or with our own inner self in what feels like the darkness, right? Not a lot of us wrestle like out in the daylight for everyone to see. Before we carry on, I want you to hear from some other people about what wrestling in their life has looked like. So there's three people who are going to share really quick stories: Adam, Abby, and Emma. So if you want to welcome them, they're going to do a thing and talk to you. But they're going to tell you what it's looked like to wrestle with God in their different situations. You want to go first?
Hello. Like they said, I'm Adam, and I'm a junior here. So basically, my story starts back to freshman year. So, you know, like orientation weekend, when you finally get here, it's like all the emotions of coming to college kind of flood you. And they have these different things you have to do. And one of the things is the Feed Ashland Walk. And on that, I made some great friends. So I like had, going into like starting off freshman year, I had this group of three people. And they were like my go-to people for everything. They were really my best friends. And the first time I like felt like they could like, be my best friends. Everyone in high school was always kind of fillers to fill the time. Like, I didn't really have any close relationships until here. But then that quickly kind of got flipped over when one of the three sexually assaulted the other two. And that one was my, like, complete best friend. Like, I just met him, but, like, I'm like, this guy can be my best man one day. Like, this guy is the person that I'm going to talk to for the rest of my life. And then he does this thing. And that's the first person I put, like, a lot of faith and trust into. And that's never happened before. So going throughout this, and like at first I didn't know, but I just noticed he's getting weird until someone told me what was happening. And then that just kind of destroyed my life. Like in that moment, I didn't know what to do. I was pretty new to my faith, so praying was by far not the first thing to come to mind. First thing to come to mind was yell, kick, scream, I don't know. But so then it came to a time where it was just a really like hard night. A lot of things were going down. So I ended up getting in my car and going for a drive, just kind of clearing my mind. And on a side note, my mom does this thing, like I'm sure all moms do, is just like gives an occasional text saying, are you okay? Are you alive? Because I don't really text her that much here. I was in the car and I was screaming. And like I'm like, so as a Christian, I'm told when things are hard, what do? You pray. That's a reasonable thing to do. So I'm like, I'm going to try that. And that lasted for a solid 5 seconds before my prayers turned into screams. And then it was an entire car ride on the highway, didn't really know where I was going, and I'm just screaming at God about, like, I finally like, came to you, I finally, like, brought my life to you, and this is how you treat me. Like, I thought that he abandoned me, I don't know, like, what I did wrong, but I'm like, I don't deserve this. And then as I was driving, I happened to be on the highway that goes to my home, and I got this random text at 9:45 p.m. from my mother. And my mom goes to bed at 8. So the fact that she was up that late to begin with is already, like, a miracle. But she sent me a text, and, like, she only texts me if she wants to have a conversation, not just, like, a how are you doing, good, okay, bye. So I looked at it, and I'm like, okay, might as well. So I went home, still screaming at God, still furious, still frustrated, just feeling that I was completely abandoned. And then I went home, and the same thing happened where I just blew up with my parents, telling them everything that was happening and, like, everything I'm going through. And they've never really seen me mad before, so, like, I scared my parents, and it was just, like, even that was terrible. But then the car ride back was the quietest car I've ever had. Like, I didn't have the radio on. My thoughts were blank. I didn't have any of these, like, outrageous, like, feelings anymore. And, like, sometimes, like, you know, there's God's not quick to anger. So we can sit there and we can scream at God all we want. And he'll take it. Like, he doesn't care. He'll take the screams. But, like, he tends to always, like, respond the complete opposite way you're expecting. So, like, I drove back, and it was completely peaceful. And that's when I realized, like, even when I am completely rejecting God and telling him you rejected me and going against everything I've been, like, taught and just saying, like, this is why I shouldn't have come to you, God, he does this. And it just gives me, like, an overwhelming sense of peace. And no, the situation didn't just end when I got back and it wasn't all rainbows and butterflies. But, like, that was a huge step on the path towards healing. And without God, without that screaming match with God, I would have never gotten to that point. Thank you.
Thanks. Abby, you want to come share? It's you. It's your turn. This is Abby.
Hi, everybody. I'm Abby. So I grew up a Christian. That needs to be stated. But I somehow missed this whole, like, component of Christianity of, like, you can actually have a relationship with God throughout, like, Christian private education, like, all that, mission trips all throughout high school. Just missed that part completely somehow. And then so I got here and started being involved in the Well, and people started talking about how they hear God talking to them. And, like, God told me this and God told me that. And I was like, and I really didn't get it. And then my sophomore year, I went to Fall Retreat because Sadie forced me to. Literally, like, no other reason. And so I'm at fall retreat, and I don't want to be there. And you break up into like little small groups, and we're in this small group, and we're talking about God talking to us. And like the question was asked, like, why don't you listen to and respond to the call the Holy Spirit puts on your life? And I was like, I am not about to answer this. Like, I don't have an answer to that. Like, and then my like small group leader like called on me. He's like, Abby, answer this question. And I looked at him and was just blatant. I was like, I don't think he talks to me. And he told me back, he's just like very, very blunt. We've talked about it since then. He admits this might have been a little rude. He was just like, I'm sure he talks to you. You just need to listen better. And I was like, what are you saying right now? And so for some reason, I decided to listen to this random person that I barely knew. It was Peter Kabunsky, if anybody wants to know that. And I was just like, okay, everybody at the well seems to be having, like, they can hear God. This guy obviously thinks I should be able to hear God. I'm like, all right, we're going to do this thing. So I, like, spent forever trying. Like, oh, I would, like, sit there in my bed, like, all right, I'm going to listen. I'm going to hear things. I'm going to get answers. It's going to happen. And nothing happened. And I was, like, I was super frustrated. And then I was actually at the well. I was here. And we were having a very similar service, kind of, where we were talking about, like, how it's okay to be upset with God. And I just let God have it. Like, I was like, apparently everybody else can hear you talk. Why can't I hear you talk? Like, I just don't get it. And sitting, like, over there, I had, like, my first, like, encounter with God where, like, I was, like, so angry and so upset, and I was crying, and then it was time to worship, and I just stood up, and I was like, okay, whatever, this is fine, and I, like, stand up to worship, and, like, I actually, like, started to shake, like, physically, honestly, like, thought I was, like, gonna pass out or something. I was like, I'm like, this is not right, and, like, I sit down, and I'm like, what is going on? And then eventually, I'm just like, maybe this is God, like, is this some weird God thing? And when, I had that thought, I, like, shook more, and I was just like, I really could have just gone with the words or the vision like everybody else got, but, like, this is fine. So that happened, and it still happens every now and then. It's definitely become, like, a way that, like, God and I communicate. But, like, after the well, luckily Peter was once again here. He was talking to somebody, but I 100% interrupted this conversation. I was like, we need to talk. Like, this just happened. And he went all, like, potential doctor. He wanted to go to med school. And so he was, like, asking me, like, all these questions about, like, if I was physically okay. And he's like, yeah, I think it was God. He's like, good for you. And I'm like, but that being said, it was definitely a very, like, frustrating period of my life. And that was very comical. But God can come through, like, even when you, like, don't think it's ever, like, going to happen, and, like, he can have breakthroughs and in other situations too, not just in, like, listening to him, but, like, whether it be relationships or anything like that, like, God can, like, break through those, like, tough moments.
Thanks, Abby. A couple things. I only force people to do things when I think that God's telling me to, so, like, you don't have to be afraid of me. And, well, don't ask Hannah. And not everyone yells at you at fall retreat, so if you haven't come, you should come. And then Emma wants to share, and then we'll do some other stuff. Yeah, Emma, woo!
Hey, guys. So, I'm Emma. So, this time last year, I was prepping to go to Germany on a study abroad. I was supposed to go to Germany for a month. It's going to be super cool. During that time, Hannah Roble was trying to convince me to go to South Africa, and I was like, no, I'm going to Germany, like, same time frame, not going to work. Fun fact, Germany got canceled, didn't go to South Africa or Germany, lived at home. Not the same as traveling abroad. So this year I thought about going to South Africa, and I was like, no, like, I still really want to do a study abroad. So I signed up. I'm going to Prague for spring break. And once again, Hannah Roble came to me and was like, hey, I think you should think about going to South Africa. And I was like, no, like, I've already committed to, like, Prague, like, 2 international trips, never been abroad, probably not a great idea. And she was, like, super persistent. She's like, no, you just, like, need to think about it. And so I, like, very obviously blew her off, like, for a long time about it. And then over Thanksgiving break, she was texting me. It's like, I just, you really need to think about South Africa. And I was like, no, but okay. And she responded with, okay, just, like, promise me you'll pray about it. To which I said, no. So, in case you're wondering, that's probably, like, not the greatest response when somebody says, hey, you should pray about this. but it was, I struggled, like, all of fall break this year with the idea of going to South Africa because it didn't fit into my plan that I had. I already, like, was looking at things to line up for June and not planning on being, like, on a very completely different part of the world. But I had this moment when, like, I was just, like, sitting at home by myself and, like, just, like, yelling at God. I was like, no, this is not, like, this was not the plan. Like, I had this figured out, and, like, this was not, like, this isn't in my budget. This isn't what I want to be doing. And then, like, you get to this point where you're, like, fighting so much that you just get completely physically exhausted. And I just heard God saying, like, yeah, I want to pray about it now. I was like, cool. So I did. And fun fact, I'm going to South Africa now. And I'm still entirely terrified, but, like, it's fine. It's going to be great. So, yeah. There you go.
Thank you, everybody. I go to South Africa with the students, so I don't know why anyone would not want to come. Also, you guys are rocking it at, like, laughing and responding. I don't know what's happening over here, but it's you, right here. And you, Cassidy. No, it's wonderful. So you've heard a lot of examples of what it looks like to wrestle with God. I wouldn't be surprised if you're thinking about the moments in your life where you've been wrestling, and maybe you're not sure it was God. Maybe you don't believe in God. But if you can think of moments that you were wrestling in your life, those are the ones we're talking about tonight. And I am of the opinion that all of Scripture can speak directly into our lives. And so I think that there are a lot of things that we can learn from Jacob. I think that we can learn that we're supposed to pray with boldness to say, hey, you said this. You promised. This is who you are. And this is not what I see. I will not let go until you bless me. It's not the prayers that are like, excuse me, God, like, if you weren't too busy to listen, like, a couple days ago, and if it's, like, in your will, and, like, only if you want to, would you please? And I picture God being like, just, like, get to it. What do you want? I already know. Just say it. You know, and in those moments of my life where I've been like, fine, I'll just say it. I've said prayers that go like this. God, I hate this. Fix it. And I felt this immediate sense that, like, his response was, finally, finally, you told me how you feel. And I was like, oh, here we go. And it wasn't perfectly solved in 4 days because eternity is much longer. And so our whining over 4 days sometimes isn't legit. So we can pray with boldness. I'd say that all of us have some sort of battle that we're facing in our life right now or that we've faced throughout our lives. And that the dark of night is usually where the wrestling happens. We talked about this before. But you're not alone in that. Like, you're not alone in the fact that you're not the only person that's wrestling. And you're not alone in the fact that God is never away from you. He doesn't let you go. And I am completely convinced that the things that you and I actually have the most in common are the things that we do not tell each other, because we don't think that anyone has that experience. And then the fourth thing I think we can learn is that you can expect and will receive a blessing. And the blessing's not what Jacob anticipated at all. Jacob walks away in this story with a limp. The angel or the man or God touched him, and he had a limp that he walked with. And a lot of scholars say, like, that's so he could remember his encounter with God. But he walked from that, and the story ends with him meeting his brother, and his brother completely welcomes him in. If you've heard the story of the prodigal son, you've heard that the son completely disowns his family, goes away, spends all his inheritance, and comes back begging, thinking he's going to beg to be a slave for his father. And his father, like, pulls up his robe and runs out to him and puts a robe on him, puts a ring on his finger, and says, "You are my son." And that happens in this story too, but it's not his son. When Esau sees his brother, he runs to him and he embraces him. So in all of the wrestling, I can't promise that it's going to be exactly the thing that you're begging God for, but it will be good. And for those of you who are in the midst of wrestling and a struggle, and you're wondering why God's not curing that person, or why God took that person, or why your life hasn't looked blank yet, what I want to encourage you to do is to keep wrestling. And to have the tenacity to say, "I'm not letting go until you bless me." So we're going to enter into a time of worship. And this can be completely responsive. Like, if you want to just sit there and think about what you've heard, if you want to journal what you sense that is happening in this place, if you want to stand and sing with us, that would be awesome too. But you're invited to take this next 20 minutes-ish to just reflect and to spend some time with God and to worship. And then after that, we'll move into something else. Let me pray for us first. God, I'm so thankful that you promise that you won't leave. That even in our own human relationships, we can't always count on people not leaving. But you're different. You're faithful. You're good. And you love us. So as we transition into worship, remind us who it is that we're worshiping. Remind us that you are good and faithful and loving and true and trustworthy. That you calm the storm. That you bring peace. God, whatever it is that you need us to know about you tonight, I pray that we would know it. We would experience it. We'd believe it. Amen.